It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Well, welcome to Quantum number 296. Quantum, a podcast that looks at news and views and music and culture from throughout the world, from a Christian perspective, but open to all. And I begin with a bit of good news. We have now just passed the 1,000,000th download of Quantum. I had said that I would do this when I started it a few years ago, as long as people wanted it. And it has continued, and it's a lot of work, but it's been worthwhile in terms of getting your responses, and I'm glad to have reached this milestone. I'll have more about that at the end, but this one is also going to be a Steve Harley special. Steve Harley, singer, songwriter who died this week. You may say, who? Never heard any of his music. I'm pretty sure you must have heard this.
You've done it all. You've broken every code. Appalled the rebel to the floor. You spoke the game, no matter what you say. But only metal, what a ball. There's nothing left, all gone and run away. Maybe you'll tarry for a while. It's just a test, a game for us to play. Win or lose, it's hard to smile.
That is, of course, Come Up and See Me and Make Me Smile. Now, Steve Harley might not be the best known songwriter in the world, but he had five incredible albums. The Cockney Rebel albums from 1973 to 1976. The song Sebastian, which I won't play a clip of because I think you need to listen to the whole thing. I think it is, a bit grandiose, but just brilliant. The thing about Harley for me is he has a kind of unique voice, but his lyrics are absolutely stunning. Now, something about his life that I didn't know until recently, that he was a survivor of childhood polio and underwent an agonizing operation to even out his legs, which left him with a permanent limp. That song you just heard, Make Me Smile, Come Up and See Me, was just a massive hit, but that's when he fell out with the original Cockney Rebel. He wrote that song. I think it's brilliant. I think there are so many of his songs that are brilliant, and we'll play a couple of them as we go through this week's news. Okay, do you know this gentleman?
It doesn't matter. We're just having a laugh. People get so worried about offence now, don't they? So worried. Like if I said to you, you know, I started taking the mickey out of your glasses, you know, we're having a giggle, just a crack at it. Well, a bit of fun, isn't it? Started taking the mickey out of your shirt and the clothes, you know, it's just a bit of a giggle, right? If I started taking the mickey out of your face, you know, that face that's caused you so many problems over the years with the opposite sex and all those lonely nights you've had crying alone in the bedsit wondering when you're going to get a woman. You know, we're just having a giggle, don't you? I won't say anything to you, mate. I know where to draw the line. first time ever I saw your face. Ah! I'm joking.
That is Lee Mack. Now, personally, I think he's one of the funniest comedians from the UK. And that wee clip there from Live at the Apollo kind of sums up what I think good comedy should be, which is basically social commentary, irony, ridicule almost, and humour, or seeing the ridiculousness of things. But comedy is changing in the UK, and as it becomes woke, it's not just that it becomes broke, it just stops being funny. And if you listen to a lot of comedy shows now, I just find them so boring and so conformist. Mac wrote recently about a Guardian review of his show, which almost got cancelled, in which the great criticism was the studio audience falls about laughing. Well, imagine that, laughing at comedy. I mean, sitcoms, again, all of that is now changing. There's a man called David Stubbs, I was reading this, who, he's just white, male, cisgender, Oxbridge, but progressive. So he hates everything about himself. And he wrote a book in 2023, Different Times, A History of British Comedy, which was just extraordinary. He, for example, said that Are You Being Served sowed the seeds of Brexit, that Fawlty Towers would have been better without Manuel in it, that porridge failed lamentably to indict the penal system, and best of all, this was great, there's not enough explicit focus upon distressing far-right atrocities in Dad's Army. Stubbs suggested that the entire British sitcom genre was one gigantic subliminal ploy designed to get viewers to vote Tory by pushing them into adopting reactionary attitudes like laughing at Frank Spencer done up like a fairy and acting like one too. You should read the whole of this article. It really is just quite funny. The Guardian reviewed his book and said something like, punching up how British comedy became kinder and more inclusive without losing its edge. Stubbs talks about going to see a trans, lesbian, autistic, recovering alcoholic and drug addict at his local pub, and he said, British comedy has never been in a better moral state. It has been strengthened by its inclusivity, its diversity, its neurodiversity, all the embedded values of political correctness. See, you've got to fit in with the doctrines, the moral doctrines of the progressives. It doesn't matter if you're funny, as long as you're politically correct. Yeah. Speaking of that, I did one a couple of weeks ago on Islam, you know, and I wrote some articles about Islamism, and we've just put up the sequel, and I'll say more, you'll see more about that at the end. But this appeared at King's Cross Station beside all the signs saying, you know, when your train was leaving, when it was expected to arrive and so on. Day 9, Fajr, 0425, Hadith of the day, the Prophet Muhammad, PBUM, peace be upon him. All the sons of Adam are sinners, but the best of the sinners are those who repent often. Now, why is a British state institution doing that? My challenge is that you would never get British Rail putting up a quote from scripture in that way. I mean, it is extraordinary how all of this is happening and how it continues. Let's do some world news. First of all, we need to remember this country.
Haiti has been bad for years, but this is a new development. There is now no elected controlling authority at all. Some countries are actively considering sending in foreign soldiers to impose order. Port-au-Prince is a seething mass of desperate people. 60% of the city is under gang control. There are over 100 groups, and that is who the international force would face.
That is Haiti, or it's just an extraordinary place. I know some friends who've gone and worked there trying to help. It's one of the poorest, if not the poorest country in the world. Certainly going through a state of extreme disorder, which seems enormous. Port-au-Prince, the capital, is in panic mode. A report I read suggested that Petitionville, a wealthier area of the city, has seen its most violent day in the country's spiraling security crisis. The home of a judge was attacked, a dozen bullet-ridden bodies lay in the street, and all this because of gang warfare. It's a country that's descended into anarchy rather than stability. We pray for it. Then in Africa, in Zimbabwe, again, an extraordinary story. I am trying to cover stories from throughout the world. In Zimbabwe, the president of the Zimbabwe Miners Federation has been arrested for fraud after allegedly attempting to sell three mines she doesn't own. Henrietta Rushwaya has been taken into police custody because last year she was convicted of trying to smuggle gold worth over $330,000 out of Zimbabwe. And she was also a central figure in the Al Jazeera Gold Mafia documentary. It's, you know, Africa is such a rich and wealthy continent, but it's being destroyed by corruption. Haiti, destroyed by violence. Africa, the corruption that's there. And in many other societies as well, by the way. It's not just in Africa, but it's particularly frustrating in Africa where there's so much wealth and so much poverty and so much corruption. And then moving over to Asia, in Indonesia, in Jakarta, the defense minister, Prabowo Subianto, he has now officially been elected. He got 96.2 million votes, or 58.59% of the total votes cast. It is going to be interesting what happens in Indonesia, a very important country, particularly as it's the largest Muslim country in the world. And then we come over to Europe, and just as I'm recording this, I've heard word that Leo Varadkar has resigned. Now, Varadkar is the Prime Minister of Ireland. He has led Ireland's social progressivism, if you like. And it really has been a shock that he resigns. Now, it says that he's resigned for personal and political reasons. And that does make me wonder. I mean, it's interesting, Ardern of New Zealand, Drakeford from Wales. Now, Varadkar in Ireland, Sturgeon in Scotland. It's like when the going gets tough, the progressives just get out. And speaking of which, that brings me to Humza Yousaf, who this week tweeted that the new Welsh First Minister, Gething, is a model civil servant. Now that's astonishing, and I'll tell you why that's astonishing. Because this is he's the new Labour First Minister of Wales. And he accepted £200,000 in donations from a company convicted of illegally dumping waste, having previously lobbied regulators on its behalf. So we talked about corruption in Africa. Well, this is corruption in Wales. And here's the First Minister of Scotland praising this corrupt politician as a model politician, a model societal servant. Just wow. Speaking of Scotland as well, there's just the new hate crime legislation. It is almost impossible to describe just how bad it is. But I think what got me was reading how many Christian MSPs supported the legislation. I think that's the ultimate definition of turkeys voting for Christmas. All right, time for a little bit more Steve Harley, Cockney Rebel, singing the Beatles song, Here Comes the Sun.
Little darling, it's been the long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been clear. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. Little darling, the smile's returning to the faces. Little darling, it seems like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, and I
Now we come to an astonishing piece, which I think is incredible. Did you hear about Donald Trump promising a bloodbath? If you'd read The Guardian or the BBC or watched the ABC or any of these, then you would got the impression, well, let's just listen to this first.
If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell.
Now, isn't that, there's evidence that he was promising a bloodbath. In the headlines, Trump promises bloodbath if he loses. It sounds like he's threatening a Haitian-style gang warfare violence, isn't it? But now, I'm going to play you the whole clip so that you get it in context.
China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
So, it turns out he wasn't threatening a bloodbath. He was using the term as it's used in an economic sense. And if you doubt that that happens, here's several Democratic commentators using exactly the same phrase.
A bloodbath on Wall Street.
There's going to be a bloodbath
in Alabama into a bloodbath.
Obviously, there was a bloodbath. It was a bloodbath. We're down 800 points.
This bloodbath at Department of Homeland.
So I'm afraid, you see, this is what happens. Now, if you don't like Donald Trump, and I personally don't, and if you much prefer that there was someone other than either Trump or Biden as president, and put me in that camp as well. But the trouble is that when respectable news outlets use this kind of tactic, they know they're lying. They know it's nonsense. But it fits the narrative. And it's just a dreadful way. No wonder our society gets in so much trouble. By the way, on the Trump thing, the far bigger story for me is that Mike Pence, his former vice president, has refused to endorse him. Mike is an evangelical Christian and a strong one. And for him not to endorse Trump, I think, speaks far more volumes than remarks about economic bloodbaths. Speaking of lies, an extraordinary ruling from here in Australia, where Patrick Parkinson, who's a law professor, noted the new enthusiasm for the idea that one can change sex, and he, him, went on to criticise laws that allow people to falsify their birth certificates on the basis that they now feel as if they were a different sex to the one in which they were born. The Press Council here in Australia have upheld a complaint saying that the word falsify suggests a level of criminality or deceit that has not been made out by any of the material relied on by the publication. Well, I'm sorry, but if you are born a male and you're biologically a male and you put on your birth certificate that you are born female, that is a lie. What else is it? Of course it's a lie. And yet the Press Council have upheld that complaint. So in other words, the Press Council uphold a complaint which basically says, the Press Council's ruling now says, you are compelled to lie. The Press Council is just another one of these elite institutions that has been captured by this incoherent gender ideology. All right, a little bit more Steve Harley. This is a kind of quirky one, I think, but I love it. Judy Team.
She took it.
Now, I'm going to read something just now that if you have a young person there or if you get upset by this kind of stuff, you might want to skip a couple of minutes because I'm going to read something from Nadine Dorris, Tory MP, who wrote in the Daily Mail about when she was a young nurse of 18, she was on the gynecological ward. The legal limit then for abortion was 28 weeks. It was reduced to 24 in 1919. She talked about an expectant 16-year-old mother where a little boy, the fetus, she says, a little boy was delivered. He was dropped in a bedpan and told by the ward sister, take this into the sluice room and leave it there till I come. Stay with it. She says this, as I closed the sluice room door, I removed the paper covering from the bedpan. I've never forgotten what I saw. There was a tiny baby boy blinking, covered in mucus, blood, and amniotic fluid, gasping for breath, his little legs and arms twitching. I was shocked to my core. Weeping, I rocked the bedpan in my arms. I wanted to pick him up, but he was so small, I didn't know how to. After a minute or so, I couldn't bear it any longer, and I was about to run for help when I heard the ward sister's unmistakable footsteps approaching. As he took the bedpan from me, he stopped breathing. As she took the bedpan from me, he stopped breathing. I checked my fob watch. A little boy had been born, lived and died in the space of 7 minutes. Mine was the only face he saw, my sobs the only sounds he heard. Distressed, I turned to the ward sister and said, he was breathing. Through her dark rimmed glasses, she glared at me saying, no, he wasn't. You didn't see that. I was stunned. He was breathing, I insisted. She looked embarrassed and muttered, the mother probably got it wrong. Maybe she was more than 27 weeks. Now, Doris goes on to say that she still supports abortion, but does so up to 12 weeks, and she thinks the limit should be reduced. But please understand that there are MPs like Stella Creasy or Dame Johnson who have put amendments to the UK Parliament saying that you can end late-term pregnancies at home in the absence of proper care. That's extraordinary. Just evil. In the woke world, Lloyd's... I keep saying it's incredible, but it's no longer incredible, is it? Britain's biggest lender has been accused of a nanny state approach after issuing a long list of everyday terms for its 57,000 workers to avoid in case they cause offence. Things like headless chicken, lost in translation, and sold down the river. Lloyd says that use of the term guinea pig might upset vegans, but this is the one. It's banning the use of the word widow, saying you should use separated instead. But Lloyd's biggest product is its Scottish Widows subsidiary, managing assets of almost £200 billion. And Lloyd is saying, we can't use this word, it's unnecessarily vivid and may trigger unwarranted personal memories of trauma and upsetting situations. Yeah, and Scottish as well. That might trigger you as well. I'm mad. All right, Mr. Harley again. I think this is so appropriate.
Mr. Soft, turn around and force the world to watch the things you're going through. Oh, Mr. Soft, believe everything they tell you and be damned if they'll thank you. You paint everything so cruel. Come and own that, Mr. Paint your face and shut the gate. No one's coming home till late. Ooh la, cha. Don't you know life gets tedious enough without this extra grudge to bear? You're so slow. Shift your ideas, make your mind up in a jiffy. Let's be fair. waking up tonight. Turn off your eyes and shut the light. Oh yeah, the most is so unreal. We'd all be dead without your spiel.
That's Mr. Soft. Here's an interesting one. Psychological researchers in Finland have created an assessment to help measure an individual's commitment to principles of social justice, and they have decided that, or they say that this study shows that there's a negative correlation between progressive ideals and levels of happiness. In other words, the more woke you are, the less happy you are. I could have told you that. And then, do you recognize this movie from its theme song?
Every night in my dreams, I see you, I feel you. That is how I know you. Go on. Far across the distance and spaces between us, you have come to show you. Go on. Near, far, wherever you are, I believe that the heart does go on.
Of course, that's Titanic. And I mention that because my favorite podcast, other than this one, is The Rest is History with Tom Holland and Dominic Sandbrook. And they've just done a mammoth 6-part series on the Titanic. And I found it incredibly fascinating. And this fact that the insistence on women and children first as the ship was going down. Basically, there weren't enough lifeboats for everybody. And so one officer wouldn't actually allow any men on, and as he would send off a boat half empty because he would not let men go on. Another would, women and children first, and if there was space, he'll let one on, which kind of seems the more sensible thing. There's a very moving story of a feminist who asked for her husband to get on, and it was refused. And he stayed and he died. But I wonder, in our age of equality, do we now find that ridiculous? Women and children first. Has that era completely gone? And speaking of a gone era, General Douglas MacArthur, in his famous May 1962 address to West Point cadets, said this: duty, honor, country. These three hallowed words reverently dictate what you ought to be, what you can be, and what you will be. But West Point, last week, removed them from its mission statement. This, is, by the way, is why America is in so much trouble. The superintendent, Lieutenant General Steve Gilland, said that it resulted from a year and a half of discussions held across the West Point community and in consultation with unidentified external stakeholders. Yeah, that's what always happens. And at West Point now, you get lessons on modern slavery in the USA and white power, where cadets are taught that whiteness is a problem and they get taught critical race theory. Diversity, according to Gilland, is important and critical to our US military academy, to our military, and to our nation. This is our mission. Yeah. I think the American military is in huge trouble. All right, let's return to the Islam thing. Sikh 27. As it happened, I'm going through Sikh every week on my blog, www.theweeflea.com, and putting up a chapter from it. I would encourage you to get the book. What amazes me is that questions that I was answering a couple of years ago, preparing it and writing the book, they're so relevant today. And this was one: is Islam a pathway to God? God of the Christians and Allah are the same, right? Now, I answer it by using John 14. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And I use Andy Bannister's book, great book on Islam. And I also talk about citing the Quran. Same Quran that's displayed on the King's Cross railway station site. And look, the answer is very simple. Jesus Christ is the only savior of the world. And I think that's really important. Just to quote the end of the chapter, nowhere in the Quran does it say that it's possible to know God. For the Muslim, that is impossible. All you can do is have correct beliefs about God. But as Jesus says in John 14:6, there is a way to know the Father, and that is through him. He is not only a way, he is the only way. Islam will not lead you to the knowledge of God. The Bible teaches that all human beings are made in the image of God, and that he has set the burden of eternity in our hearts. In other words, we have a longing for him. Perhaps it might be that Muslims are seeking, but they will ultimately only find him if they find Jesus. Okay, so at the end of this edition, where I come back to the fact that we've now had 1 million downloads of these, I'm going to finish with this wonderful song from Keith and Kirsten Getty and Stuart Townend. You're the Word of God the Father. Last week, we began here in Scotskirk in Newcastle in New South Wales, Australia, alive at 5, a 5 o'clock service, and we looked at John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, at the massive big picture of who is the Word and the whole creation and the universe. I use a lot of words. You hear a lot of words, but there is one word. The person from whom all communication, all truth, all reality, all creation comes, and that is Jesus Christ. So, this podcast is done with that foundation and on that basis. Can I thank you for listening? Can I thank those of you who support? And can I say, if you are a supporter, as of this week, I'm now going to produce a weekly short catch-up for you and stuff that's going on, because there are things that I can't say on this podcast because of all the stuff that's now happening. In Scotland, apparently, with this new hate crime law, anything that can be heard in Scotland is deemed to be published in Scotland. Amazing. Anyway, if you want to become a supporter, please do that on the Podbean fundraiser. Can I thank Peter for producing this? Honestly, he's just been absolutely amazing, and the quality of what he does. And please do feel free to give feedback or comments or pass on any information. But remember that Jesus is the Word of God the Father. All things exist, have been created by him, they exist through him, and they exist for him. And he is Lord. God bless you. See you next week for an Easter special. Bye.